CougarFan.com, Rising Shot Podcast, episode 406. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, some people took some exception to some of our bracket picking last week.
Of course they did. That's what it's all about. It's about causing controversy.
No, they should just agree blindly with whatever we say.
I feel like that's not the way this works.
You know what have a lot of people have been doing on Twitter, I feel like, lately, is just throwing out, like, controversial statements. Like, I don't know, Brady Papinga saying that Taysom Hill, that Lamar Jackson is the poor man's Taysom Hill.
That was a bizarre comment. Listen, Brady's, I love me some bizarre Taysom, but come on.
Yeah, that's a little
really
over the top.
Now,
have you ever seen Lamar Jackson throw a deep ball? Taysom Hill doesn't throw a deep ball like Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, I don't know. Taysom might be his equal as a runner. I'll buy that. I'll buy that one. But I think Lamar Jackson has proven both in college and the pros to be a pretty decent thrower of the football.
Yeah, I think Taysom's going to have to like start a season before I'm ready to make that comparison. Like, there's just not data. There's no data to support the claim.
So Teddy Bridgewater leaves to become the starting quarterback at Carolina, right? And
Cam Newton will shortly be signing with the New England Patriots.
No, he won't. He's not signing with the Pats. Do you think he's really signing with the Pats?
I've already ordered a jersey, so I hope that he does.
Okay, all right. A little premature there, buddy. But that being said, you know, Teddy Bridgewater. So now the backup quarterback in New Orleans is theoretically Taysom Hill. Now, you and I have gone on record multiple times saying we don't believe Taysom Hill will ever be the starting quarterback with the Saints. Do you still believe that's the case?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So do I. I mean, we will see in week one if he plays like the Swiss Army knife he's been over the past, and whoever they sign at quarterback or whatever, right? Or if they use a draft pick on a quarterback or something. But if he plays in that game as a wide receiver or a running back, he is not the backup quarterback except in an emergency situation, right? He's not there to be the backup quarterback. Because you don't play your backup quarterback as a wide receiver.
Or on your kickoff team.
Or your quarterback of the future, right? Now, that being said, I do think Taysom Hill could start in the NFL. There's a lot of bad quarterbacks, and I think he could do better than some of them. And heck, the Patriots might need to trade for him. No, I actually like Jared Stidham. I'm all in. He's the new Tom Brady. Hall of Fame.
I am not all in.
Get the bust ready.
Cam Newton. Bring me Cam.
You know, Cam was good 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He just got a year off. His body's all healed up. He's going to be ready to go.
What about Joe Flacco? He's available.
He's available. I feel like he's available for a reason.
So I want to line up Nick Foles, Joe Flacco. Who's that guy that was good for like a couple games and then Houston got him? Osweiler? Brock Osweiler?
Yeah.
I want to line up all these guys and say, teams, you know how you can kill your franchise for half a decade? Sign a terrible, mediocre, or below mediocre quarterback to a big contract. That's how you do it. You don't sign Joe Flacco to big money because you won the Super Bowl. Right? You won the Super Bowl and he had a decent year, but you had an amazing defense. You don't sign Joe Flacco to this massive contract because your defense was good. It seems like a no-brainer to me. Like, you pay money to Drew Brees. You pay money to Brady. You pay money to Peyton Manning. You don't pay money to Joe Flacco, like that level of money. So, anyway. All right, so people took umbrage. The first one is 10 Cup Man on Twitter, at Boozer Taylor. He says, come on, guys, time to put the juvenile stuff to bed and do the tourney on the fast food restaurants. Now, he was talking about we are going to later do a tournament on superhero outfits, I believe. So
I think it's supervillain costumes.
Is superhero that costumes. Superhero costumes.
Superhero costumes.
Superhero
excellent.
Costumes. He clearly he missed last week's show. So he didn't. I said to him, like, dude, we did that bracket last week. And he's like, oh, yeah, and all the craziness, I didn't listen last week. So he was going to go back and listen to that one.
But I'm interested to hear his take on this whole fast food versus fast casual conversation.
It should really be just a fast food one, right? And you could do a fast casual one.
Yeah, we should be
separate.
Fast food and a fast casual. They should be separate divisions.
Yeah, they should be separate divisions. But anyway, Spence, that's at Texas Coug Fan, had two beefs with us. Not tofu beefs, regular beefs. The first one was on that. He said, any fast food bracket where In-N-Out and Torchy's isn't at least in the final four is a travesty. How dare you, sir? And he's looking right at me. Right at me.
Well, it's kind of got a point on Torchy's.
I don't like In-N-Out. So I know everybody on the West Coast, like, just gasped. But I have been disappointed almost every time I've gone to In-N-Out. I don't think they're that good. There's like 10 burger joints I would go to in front of In-N-Out. And I'm not
joking.
How
about this? Here's a hot take. Okay. Coming in hot for you right now.
Hot take. Here we go.
In-N-Out versus Shake Shack. I'm taking In-N-Out.
What?
Have you tasted both of the burgers there?
Yeah. I would take a burger animal style at In-N-Out over a burger at Shake Shack.
See,
that's just a fact. Now, don't get me started. Now, if you want to talk about shakes, I'm there. But and you know what? I'm going to double down on this because the fries in and out, if you get those animal style, are better than the crinkly fries I get at Shake Shack.
Oh, yeah.
Is great at shakes.
Shake Shack.
They are mediocre at everything else.
Oh, boom. Stop with the mediocre garbage. They are also great at burgers. The fries are mediocre. I'll give you that. The fries aren't great. Though if you put enough Shack sauce on them, basically anything's good, really.
That's kind of, but that's the animal style take, right? Like, you just dump a bunch of crap on there.
Yeah, but that's
and then
the problem.
Fry just becomes a vehicle to get that sauce into your mouth.
But that's the problem. Both places don't have good fries, right? Because you should need very little on a good fry, like a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of fry sauce, right?
Actually,
like,
you know what I love on fries?
What
Five Guys? The malt vinegar.
Oh. Five Guys fries are fantastic.
Oh, they're the best. They give you so many of them.
So, burger joints, I'll take over In-N-Out. Are you ready for... You're going to hate this, Spence, but this is for you.
Oh, man. Just picking a fight.
Not in order, okay? Not in order. Burger joints, I'll take over. Five Guys. You?
Yeah, I'm with you there. Five Guys, sure.
Okay. Freddy's steak burgers.
I'm going with In-N-Out there.
Okay. Let's
but the
see.
Custard at Freddy's, I would take fantastic. Over a shake at In-N-Out. How's that?
Oh, yeah. The custard there is fantastic.
Oh, so good.
Really good. So good. Beats Culver's, by the way. And this is from people that lived in the frozen north forever. 13 years up there. Let's see. Shake Shack, I already said I'd take it over.
Negative
Ghost Rider. Why am I blanking? I did this earlier in my head.
You want me to start?
Smashburger.
Smashburger.
I'm taking it over In-N-Out.
Oh, man.
The Minneapolis one, and I know they don't do that everywhere, but they've got good specialty burgers in, like, every city that they're in.
All right, fantastic. I'll give you a Smashburger.
What other burger joints?
Well, I'd say I'd take Whataburger over In-N-Out.
I would take Whataburger over In-N-Out. I would not take Culver's.
No.
I would take In-N-Out over Culver's, but to me they're close. What else am I missing? I would definitely take the Marky Mark burger. Have you had
burgers?
One of those?
I've never been.
Okay, the restaurant is great, and if you buy them in the store and grill them yourself, they're great. But we're just talking restaurant here, so I have been. They have one in the they had one in the Mall of America. In Minneapolis before we moved. So,
all right, what about you listed Steak and Shake last week?
I actually, to be fair, would actually take the In-N-Out versus Steak and Shake. I may not get to 10. I may only get to like 7 or 8. What am I missing? I feel like I'm missing some big chains.
So let's see. Who else we got? We got Carl's Jr.
Oh, I'm taking In-N-Out.
I'm taking Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr., I feel sick every time I eat
there. It was a staple of college for me. Hardee's, which is the same thing as Carl's Jr., isn't it?
Yeah, they're the same.
All right, we got Wendy's.
I think it's still In-N-Out, but to me, it's it's in like the same class, Wendy's and
I don't even
In-N-Out.
Know when the last time was I ate at a Wendy's. Sonic.
It's In-N-Out. Sonic's burgers aren't great. I like their tots.
Fuddruckers, which technically I'm not allowed to say the name of that
Fuddruckers
restaurant due to an unfortunate
food.
Mishap in front of my children a few years ago.
It's a sit-down burger joint. It Red Robin, like, I think those burgers are better, but it's not a fast food joint, so I can't.
Okay, so Red Robin, don't give you Red Robin.
Yeah, I mean, I think Red Robin's burgers are way better than In-N-Out, but it's like a different kind of burger, right?
Yeah, it's a different idea, right? Yeah, yeah, it's a different idea.
Yeah, yeah.
What else we got? Well, then you can go to McDonald's, Burger King.
Burger King's terrible. I do like a good Big Mac, but I would put it out. So I had what, 6 or 7 ahead of In-N-Out. I mean,
oh, I'm still going, man. You're in Wichita.
Okay.
White Castle.
Oh, White Castle's gross. I feel sick every time I eat at White Castle.
Yeah, Castle is probably gonna kill you.
Yeah. Takes 6 months off your life every slider.
So how about this? How about Checkers?
I've never been to Checkers.
So I went to a Checkers once. I was traveling for work. I was
Is that like Waffle House? Is it like the fast food version of Waffle House?
Maybe. I don't know. So I'm traveling for work. This is years ago, but when I lived in on the East Coast. And I was in Miami. And my trip and my hotel had been booked for proximity to a location I was going to or something. I don't know. I didn't pick the hotel. Somebody picked it for me. I was in a terrible neighborhood. And I got there and it was late at night. And the restaurant and the hotel, it was a Hilton something, was closed. The only thing I could find that was open was a Checkers, and it was a walk-up. It was across the street from my hotel. And I have never been more terrified in my life just trying to get a bad burger. And you know what? I should have just stayed in my room because it was awful. And I think what I ended up doing, I think there was a guy there who looked like he had not eaten in a couple of days. So I think maybe he got the good burger. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got two, gave him one, and maybe I just got the bad one. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. All right. Enough
Jack
of
in the
burgers.
Box. No, Jack in the Box. I could do this all day. Jack in the Box.
It's been so long since I've eaten at a Jack in the Box. I don't know that
Texas
I can say.
Enough.
I think I've been to Texas enough.
Dairy Queen.
Definitely. Dairy Queen's gross. The food's gross. Ice cream's good. Food's gross.
All right, I'm running out of options.
Okay.
So let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Spence also took umbrage with our comments about MCU villains. He said, "Dudes,
he's got a lot of umbrage."
Yeah, dudes, the bad guy in Civil War is not nobody; it's Zemo. Wrong. The main issue I have with a lot of MCU bad guys is one: a lot of the time, it's a dude with the same powers as the hero. That's sometimes true. Yeah, yeah, I can buy that one. And they often don't have a clear motivation. I would say Zemo's in that group. He said Killmonger's one of the better baddies. I agree. I think Killmonger was quite good. We talked about that last week. Here's my argument, and I made this a little bit with Spence back and forth on Twitter. The antagonist, from like a writer's point of view, is really the relationship between Tony and Steve. Right? That movie is about the relationship between Tony and Steve. The Zemo is just a vehicle, a storytelling vehicle, to reveal that the Winter Soldier, and by the way, there's spoilers here for the entire MCU, but these movies are like 8 years old, that the Winter Soldier killed Tony's parents. He's not really the bad guy, because in the end, beating him does not solve their problem, right? In every other MCU movie, beating the bad guy solves your problem. So to me, he's not the villain. He is a villain, but he's not the villain. Do you buy my argument, or are you with Spence?
Yeah. No, I'll give you that, actually. I'm actually going to give you that.
Yeah, look at that. Us agreeing and everything. It's great. Mm. After our big departure on... And we could do, like... And maybe we should do this next time. We should do fast food fries next.
That's a whole argument right there.
That's what I'm saying. So we'll think about that. All right, let's head into the tweet
but
bag.
I think we'd... I'd have to go to fast food sides.
Sides, that's fine. Sides is fair. Because you'd want, you want tots in there.
And can I have the 1990s McDonald's apple pie on the list?
Sure. I could allow that.
Don't come at me with your 21st century apple pie and that garbage. Don't come at me with that.
They used to be so much better, didn't they?
And maybe it was just because I was a kid and I was...
No, they've changed it.
I did not have as discerning of a palate.
Oh, yeah, you're a super discerning palate.
I feel like they changed it. Listen, compared to what I ate when I was 16.
Hey, you and I had the same diet for most of our lives, right?
Fact.
Until we were in probably, our late 20s, when we stopped eating mostly fast food, right? I mean, anytime we got to choose, our mom did a good job feeding us good meals, right? I'm just saying, anytime we got to choose, it was not a good choice. Right?
Weekend, high school, all of college.
All of college.
It was a mess.
Heck, I went back into that habit in grad school. I got into Taco Bell and Arby's.
Arby's was a staple for me in grad school just because it was so close to the building. So close to the building. Five Guys was close to the building. Taco Bell was close to the building.
I know.
It was terrible.
That good Indian restaurant was right close to the building.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right.
My staple in undergrad was the hamburger on two pieces of white bread.
Mine was anytime
word bun.
Anytime McDonald's had a 2-for-whatever Big Mac, and you'd eat as a meal 2 Big Macs. That's healthy.
Were there 2 McChickens?
The 2 McChickens. I'm not even sure that was chicken back then. All right. Anyway, let's do the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
All right. Justin Whiting on Twitter. And if you want to tweet at us, that's at @BYU_WriteShop. And this was from Justin at JN Whiting. I'd love to hear your best non-BYU sports memory. For example, mine was watching Indiana take down number one Kentucky on a last minute 3 in 2009. You know what's really funny is I saw that game on TV the other day.
Oh, because they're replaying all the classic games.
Yeah. I saw that one on TV the other day. That is a good game. Obviously, I think he's taunting us a little bit with the Indiana love. But Matt, do you have a favorite non-BYU sports memory? Actually, to be fair, most of my favorite sports memories are non-BYU. I don't know what that says.
I actually had a hard time narrowing this down, right? So I think if I helicopter up and I'm thinking about even events I've attended where I didn't necessarily have like a dog in that fight, I'd have to go with the 2016 NCAA National Championship where Villanova hit that last-second shot over North Carolina.
Great game.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah, you were live.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
So that was one of the – and Strasburg's first start in D.C., I think I've talked about this one before. That was pretty awesome.
But you don't have to be there in person. He didn't give that as a stipulation.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, shoot. You just opened up a whole – Patriots winning Super Bowls. Yeah, but there's so many of those. It's just hard to tell which one.
Oh, gosh. The one against Atlanta is the best. I don't know. Yeah, maybe that first one was the best.
I don't know. That comeback is pretty amazing. I had thrown in the towel. I'm sitting there watching with my son. How old would he have been? 11 or 12 years old, maybe?
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like, no, Dad, we're going to win this. I'm like, you know, buddy, like, you don't always win when you go to the Super Bowl. And that's okay. Like, they've had a really good year, and I'm trying to, like, ease them into it. Oh, that was a fun one.
Well, I sent my two oldest to bed because it was out of reach. And then when they scored the second time, I was like, they may come back and win this. So I ran upstairs.
You didn't get them up, though, did you?
No, I ran back upstairs. That neither of them had fallen asleep yet. And I said, you come back down. Because I'm like, if this is like, and my oldest still talks about it, you know, it's like that memory, right? But mine quite easy. Mine is game 4 of the 2004 ALCS. The year before, in 2003, it was the Aaron Bleepin' Boone game, right? And the Yanks had eliminated us. and we're down. BYU. The Red Sox are down 3-0. Dave Roberts steals second base. The run scores, and then later they win, and obviously then go on to win the rest of that series, and then sweep the World Series against the Cardinals. So that's by far that is my favorite sports memory, non BYU related. As far as something I've been in person that's non BYU sports, I went to this was 2003 or 2004. I'd have to look it up. To an Indiana Pacers playoff game against the Detroit Pistons. Okay? And do you remember this game? Reggie Miller went up for a layup that would have won the game, and Tayshaun Prince came out of nowhere and blocked him?
Yes.
And I'm in the stadium, right? With cheap seats, so we weren't close to the court. Everybody's going nuts that Tayshaun Prince fouled him. Everyone's going nuts. And I wasn't even a Pacers fan, but you just were getting caught up in it. And I do hate the Pistons, so that was easy. He went up there and hits it, and we're all going nuts. And then they show it on the Jumbotron, and he got all ball, and the entire stadium goes silent. That was a cool in-person one. Oh, and then the playoffs, baseball playoffs, San Francisco, I saw Tim Lincecum strike out 11 guys against the or 12 guys against the Braves in a NLDS series back in, I don't know, 07? No, 9? Somewhere around there. Anyway, all right.
Another one that I really enjoyed was the Houston Texans wild card game last year.
Mm.
And that was another comfort behind win.
That was a great game, huh?
Oh, that was a fun one. And I was also at that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun game.
Deshaun Watson was otherworldly in that game.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, yeah, he's a poor man's Taysom Hill, too. Deshaun Watson is. All right, next question comes from Nick Aletto. That's at N Aletto on Twitter. He says, what are the odds BYU men's volleyball team would have won the national championship this season? Should we award it to them anyway? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Odds 100% give them the trophy.
100%. Hang up the banner. Hang the banner. I'd buy a shirt.
I would say 40%. Is that too high?
Yeah. Because Hawaii is like super high, right? Like that's actually is a pretty high number when you think about it. But I'd say it's got to be 35-40%. I mean, they were so dominant.
The advanced statistics tell me it's 40%.
Advanced statistics. No, there's no advanced statistics telling you that.
No, there's none. There's no.
You just made that crap up.
Yes, I did. I'm saying 40%. It's high. I don't know what it is, but they had the best chance of anybody in the field. But there are a couple of other really good teams, including Hawaii, that in a tournament anything can happen. But it's sad, and I haven't heard anything from the NCAA. Are they going to award championships to the highest-ranked teams, or this is the year without champions?
I don't know.
What would you do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you're the Pac-12? Because you're the conference of champions.
They don't care. Pac-12's dumb. Larry Scott will screw it up no matter what the decision is.
Yeah, he will.
So, do you give Kansas the men's college basketball championship?
No, you can't.
Why not?
What's your criteria?
They're the highest ranked team.
Criteria? You're going to change the criteria by which the national champion was decided.
Just for this year?
After the season's over?
But what?
Can't do it.
So you just, it's the year without champions?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough. You're probably right. John
you
Brain.
You can't change the criteria.
Sure you can. This is exceptional circumstances. You totally can do it.
Doesn't feel right.
What do you think about those ideas of opening the college basketball season next year with a 64-team tournament? Or like a 32-team tournament? And seed them based on last year's result? I've seen a couple of these ideas floating around on Twitter. I think it's completely impractical and won't happen, but like in theory, would you be for that?
No.
I would. I think that'd be a fun way to start the year.
It's weird to me in college sports to base anything off of the previous year's results because the turnover is just so high, especially in college basketball today.
It's way high. I mean,
it's a completely different team, right? So why should I give Kansas in 2021 some advantaged seeding because of a bunch of kids that aren't even there anymore?
Again, exceptional circumstances. That's why you do it. You'd only do it this one year because of what happened. But yeah, I totally get why you would. I get it. John Brain, that's at Johnny Dangerman on Twitter, says, have you followed the projected simulated March Madness brackets, including the ESPN simulation that put BYU in the championship game? That one had us against Dayton, right?
The championship was against Dayton?
I think it was. Okay. Do we really get to hang a Final Four banner now or what? Similar to that banner that men's volleyball is never going to get to hang.
Hang the banner.
You
can get it made by the same company that made Central Florida's national championship banner.
That's right. I would say, I think we all knew that the upside of this team was deep. I don't know that Final Four was realistic. I mean, obviously the simulation thought so, but this team had a chance at a deep run if they got the right matchups and the right, just got going in the right way offensively.
I don't believe there's a scenario at any point of the tournament playing out where I would have put money on a BYU team getting into the Final Four.
What about the Elite
They could
eight?
Make a run to the Elite Eight. They could, even if they had made a run to the Elite Eight and you said, okay, now you're just betting on them to win this single game, I don't even know that it would matter who the opponent was. I don't think I'd put money on it.
For me, it would matter the opponent. If they ended up getting some, you know, weaker seeded Cinderella, then I would like them in that matchup, but depending on who it was. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. These things are interesting to me, but quite frankly, I've kind of avoided them because it's just depressing to me. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like the people that are playing out the tournament on their own, like Xboxes or PlayStations with the, you know.
Sorry, that one guy on Twitter is awesome. He's going to post a full game online tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like announcers.
Yeah. I don't know.
Amazing.
I do wish I had college football game on a game system because I would have played that last week when I had some time off. All right, our brother Don at DP Mangum on Twitter says, "What old BYU games have you watched so far? We did the 2019 Boise football game last Saturday, Matt." What old BYU sports have you watched so far?
I watched the 2019 game against USC. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten how well the quarterback, what's his name? Slovis, whatever his name was, the USC quarterback, how well he had played the week before. How high the expectations were for him. How they came right down the field in that first drive like a hot knife through butter and put it right into the end zone. And I remember thinking like, oh, yeah, when I was watching this game, I was like, oh, well, that was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, they're going to score 50 points on us.
We're coming down off the Tennessee high. And then here comes, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his name, defensive lineman who just put kids on roller skates.
Tonga came through. That poor center just couldn't block him one-on-one.
Swung Slovis around and threw him on the ground, and he never recovered.
Well, and then he really struggled with the drop 8 defense. Right. I mean, Slovis struggled to read the zone defense.
Wilgar's diving interception. That was a fun game.
That was a good game. That was a fun one. I actually have not watched any games since this isolation stuff has started on BYU TV. We've ended up watching Dwight in shining armor on BYU TV. So, fun little family show.
There you go.
All right, Scott K. Brown on Twitter says, what early return missionaries could help BYU football this fall that it wasn't counting on? Will the shutdown give BYU an advantage because it assimilates players returning from missions in spring-summer quickly, whereas other teams aren't used to bringing back players from long breaks? So let's get to the first part. I don't know which RMs are coming back early yet. I don't know if we even know the whole list. So I don't have I think we probably need to save that one.
Yeah, we got to save it till we know, because I only know of one or two.
Yeah, so we'll save that part, Scott, but we'll come back to it. I don't think it gives BYU any advantage necessarily, because I think, maybe, I don't know. I think the players needed the spring football, and I think losing it will hurt BYU as much as it hurts everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But, I don't know. It's going to be a weird, they're already talking about giving them more fall practice time, the NCAA is, right, in order to make up for some of this. And, heck, we don't even know how it's going to affect the start of the school year. I mean, I'm not trying to get all depressed or depressing or anything, but, I mean, who knows?
Well, there's some people out there who think that there won't be an NFL season in 2020.
I'm looking forward to the draft, by the way. I will watch the heck out of the draft this year.
Well, I got news for you.
What?
So all team owners have agreed and sent a note to Goodell asking him to postpone the draft.
Stop it. When did this happen? I hate
today.
The team owners. Why? They can do it remotely. It's like
they can't do physicals. They can't do pro days. They're not. Think about the money that these guys are about to invest.
How about this? Two things. The pro days are stupid, and you make dumb decisions off of them. You have tons of films on these guys. You don't need the pro days.
I want to take a look at that knee that he was favoring in the last game. I want to know how that elbow feels, what that elbow feels like. I want to see him throw that football. I want to see that his motion is correct.
NFL wants April draft to go on as scheduled despite GM's recommendation. Now,
it's the GMs. Okay, it's GMs,
yeah,
not
it's not the owners. Because the owners could change it. Who gives a crap what the GMs say? Goodell's going to run it. Here's the thing. Do you know they're going to be able to sell advertising on the NFL Network and ESPN for 2 to 3 times what they usually do?
Because there's just nothing else.
There's no other live sports on. Like, people are going to watch the heck out of this draft. And I get it. They want to give them physicals. That's the only legitimate thing to me. The whole pro days and the stupid interviews, do those on Skype or whatever.
But you know who it really hurts are the guys that weren't combine-type prospects. It hurts them. Because those guys weren't going to get in on their film alone.
Yeah, it's possible.
Those guys need a pro day to kind of blow some scouts' minds. When you look at even a guy like, who's a good example of that?
Simon. He just ran a, sub 4.4, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like it was somewhere around a 4.4.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But you see, his agent is tweeting that film out, right? Saying, hey, look, like this was timed by an NFL scout, and here's the footage.
Right.
It's a tough spot for those guys, but.
But it is what it is, right? I mean, what are you gonna postpone it to?
Yeah, see, I don't know.
July? Like, I mean, I don't know that postponing it will get you what you wanted unless you postpone it to August, right? And then what are you going to do it right before and then 3 days later they're in camp? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
But
typically 2 or 3 days later they're in, they're in rookie camp.
Right, right. But they're in rookie camp, not real camp. Right. Anyway, yeah. We'll see what happens.
It's just a tough spot for the undrafted free agent. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Randy Whittle sent us an email, and you, of course, can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. He wants us to do a best ride at Walt Disney World bracket. We're going to do abbreviated version. So you have
is this because last time I was at Disney World was when you were on your mission? That's not true.
That's not true, dude.
I was at Disney World 15 years ago. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that was definitely post your mission.
And he's looking at almost all of these rides were there when we were there.
All right.
Not all of them the last time we were there. So Magic Kingdom, give me your best ride from Magic Kingdom that from your time you remember.
I'm going to go with Splash Mountain.
I'm going to go with Space Mountain.
Space Mountain is overrated.
You're overrated.
Way overrated.
You're overrated. What do you? I mean, no. Shut up. I'm right.
Splash
You're wrong.
Mountain's a classic. All right, whatever.
All right, You're Epcot. Losing. Epcot's
Epcot.
Terrible.
I'm looking through this. A bunch of these rides weren't there when I was there.
Yeah. I think
we're
the wrong
people.
I
feel like I know what test track is. I'm going to go with test track.
Me too. I have no idea. All right. Hollywood Studio.
This one, I don't even have to look at the whole list.
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Oh, no. It's the Tower of Terror. I went on the Tower of Terror approximately 4,000 times. So I'm
taking
Tower of Terror is good.
I'm going to go with that as well.
The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular was surprisingly entertaining.
It's fun. Animal Kingdom, a bunch of these were not there when we were there. Some of them were.
I don't even care because Tower of Terror is going to beat it. So
can I take a ride I've never been on but looks really cool?
Sure.
Is the Avatar Flight of Passage.
I was going to do the same one because I actually have at least seen pictures of that, right?
I did when it opened. They had run like this, you know, like you're writing it video. And I was like, oh, I totally want to do that, right? So I'm going to pick that one. All right, who's your champ?
My overall champ, Tower of Terror. And it's not even close. They dominate all the way down the bracket.
Space Mountain. And I'm just saying that to annoy you. Is it annoying you?
No, because you're wrong about things all the time. I've just gotten over it.
All right.
I don't even know. I don't even know that Space Mountain makes it out of their division. Like Splash Mountain, you got Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. I mean, that's another classic.
So
you got
Space
the Haunted
Mountain.
Mansion. The Haunted Mansion.
Space Mountain is a classic.
Eh. You wait in this super long line to go around in a couple of circles in the dark.
Fast pass. It's not a great roller coaster. That's true. I mean, here's the thing. You and I think, are aligned here. I'd much rather go to Universal Studios than Disney.
You know what is even more interesting than that to me, though, is the fact that growing up, we were amusement park guys, right?
Yeah. We went to amusement parks almost every summer.
Almost every summer. Even into like the early days of my marriage.
Yeah. Same here.
I'm just not into amusement parks.
I just want to go to Harry Potter World again.
I don't know what to tell you.
I want to go to this new Star Wars stuff at Disney.
I do want to see the new Star Wars stuff. That should be pretty cool.
So,
but I'm not like a roller coaster guy anymore.
I love roller coasters still.
Yeah.
Are you still? Are you just? Are you wounded from the time that you, Sam, and I went to Lagoon and we made the wrong decision of getting in the Wild Mouse, all three of us in one car?
Oh, that was a terrible decision.
Oh, that
was one of the worst decisions I made in my life.
Yeah, it was not good. My knees are still suffering from that red.
When was that? That was a long time ago.
That would have been right after your mission?
No, because Sam was on his mission right after my mission.
Oh.
So it must have been right after Sam got home. I don't know.
Right before your mission? Was he still
maybe
in high school?
Yeah, he was still in high school then.
Yeah, so maybe right before your mission.
I distinctly remember it being incredibly uncomfortable.
It was super uncomfortable. And I used to, I liked that.
Like, I'm cramping up
just
thinking about it.
Yeah, it was not, three grown men should not be in that, right? All right, so Matt, we're going to play a game tonight. Take five. And this comes from a Facebook question we got from Travis Brewer. And if you want to join the conversation on Facebook, it's facebook.com/riseandshout. Travis asks, I've got nothing as far as questions for us. At least I can still listen to you two. Well, thanks. That's very nice. I'm expecting something good from you. I don't know that we've delivered tonight, but I hope, Travis, for your sake, we've at least delivered a little bit. Maybe you could suggest a good movie to watch with the wife that isn't The Notebook. Better than that, Travis, we're going to give you five movies to watch, a take five game here, and here are the five categories. We're going to give you one for the fam, one for you and the wife, one for just the kids, one for sports lovers, and then one that maybe it's a favorite of ours that isn't a super popular movie. All right. So, Matt, do you want to start out with your first one for the family, for everybody? You sit down and want to watch a movie. What's a good one for Travis?
It's a fun one. We actually watched with the family just the other night. Was this new Pixar movie, Onward.
Good.
Definitely would recommend. Great movie. We all enjoyed it, except my oldest son, I will admit, was watching on his phone. What's this? It's a series on Netflix about a football player. Anyway, he wasn't really paying attention to Onward, but the rest of us really enjoyed Onward. It was good. You'll laugh, you'll cry.
I haven't seen it. I haven't it's seen great. Onward. We're waiting till April 3rd till we can do it for free on Disney Plus.
Good move.
Yeah. So mine is also a Pixar. Our family go-to movie is The Incredibles. It's a good one for the whole fam. All right, the next category, Matt, is one for couples, for the husband and wife. And it's got to be something that everybody, that, you know, can appeal to both men and women.
Yeah, so I'm going to go a little bit. I'm going to go a little bit back in time with this one.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Far and Away from 1992.
Whoa!
So, but part of the reason I go with that is my wife is into historical fiction type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's like street fighting in this movie. So I feel like there's a good balance.
We and both kind of get a little bit of what we want. You know?
There you go.
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman.
We did. I will say, my wife and I sat down and what's the name of this movie? The Origin of Lying. What's it called?
Where
the guy from the British, The Office, lives in a universe where nobody knows how to lie, and the invention of lying.
I've never seen it.
It was not as funny as I remembered it being.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm not recommending that one. It was okay.
All right. For me, the couple's one is The Man from Snowy River. Also going way back in time on that one. You got
that's from like 1984 or something.
Yeah, you got the exciting horse chases. It's kind of a cowboy movie, and it's got romance in it. That's a good one. All right, the next category was one for the kids. This is just a kids movie. Let's aim it for, like, I don't know, 8 to 10-year-olds, so that you can kind of get everybody.
You know, I think my original pick here was one that was also a family pick, but let me think about
it. That's cool, too.
I was going to go with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
pick,
too.
Is
that too much for an 8 to 10-year-old? I don't think so. Apparently, I don't think so, given the age of children that I watched last night.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is great. Our kids have watched that movie a bunch of times.
I had not seen it until yesterday.
It's a good movie, man. It might be the best Spider-Man movie ever.
It was pretty good.
It is a good movie. It's very interesting. And the voice acting, they've got such an eclectic group in there. What's his face from My Girl is, you know, the kind of grumpy Peter Parker. Nick Cage as Spider-Man Noir, right? I mean, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Okay, next one is one for sports lovers.
Ooh, see, this one's tough. So, because there's a couple different routes you go with sports movies, right?
Right.
Like, you can really run the gamut here. It can be funny. It can be dramatic. It can just be kind of sad. So it's tough for me to pick a single winner here. But if you're just, like, into sports, you want a good sports movie, I'm going with Miracle.
That's a good choice. I like Miracle. I actually think I've only seen that one once. I was going to say Rudy.
Oh, Rudy's another good one.
And it was tough choice. Like you said, it's like, what do you want? If you wanted, like, comedy, I would go A League of Their Own. Right? And that one might be a better pick than Rudy just because it's serious and funny, right? And Rudy has a couple of laughing moments in it. But it's, you know, Tom Hanks makes A League of Their Own pretty hilarious. So I'm going to change. I'm going to go with A League of Their Own. I think that's your sports movie for isolation. And then one that maybe is a favorite of yours that's not a favorite of other people.
See, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people like the movies that I'm going to list here. A miniseries doesn't count here, right? We're going for movies.
Well, maybe so the movie I thought of next week.
the first movie I thought of when I got here, but it was probably because I had already been thinking about this movie because it, for the previous category, was Friday Night Lights. But a lot of people like Friday Night Lights.
The movie version? A lot of people do?
Yeah. I've never seen the TV show. I've never seen it.
TV show's great.
You
would love the TV show, man. It's like your glory days. Like, you could have been on that show. That's not true. Norwell was not like Western Texas.
Not the same.
Southeastern Mass. It's not Western Texas. That's okay. Did you have other ones? You said you had a few.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of the movies that I like are movies that everybody likes. Like I don't watch a lot of, rare films. Like I just don't.
I watch a lot of French films. That's not true, actually. I was gonna pick John Carter of Mars, which is a much maligned movie, and I think is actually entertaining. And I'm sad that it didn't spawn a franchise. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was fun. And the other one I was going to say, but it kind of fits into your category, is Willow. I feel like probably I decided not to pick that one because probably too many of our listeners already like that movie. But I would say that. I mean, I don't know. I'm with you. I probably most of the movies I watch and enjoy are ones that a lot of people watch and enjoy. Any movies we didn't think of that are must-sees in this social isolating time period we're in?
Saving Private Ryan. Great time to watch Saving Private Ryan. You got all this time on your hands.
That's true. I was going to say you can do what I did in grad school when the third Lord of the Rings came out, and I watched all three in a row.
I don't think I've got a period of time here where I'm going to be able to watch all three of them consecutively. I don't even know when I would do that right now.
No, I couldn't pull that off either now. But I did. It wasn't this Christmas break, but Christmas break a year ago, I watched all three over like 2 weeks. And it wasn't all sometimes in one sitting either. But it was over those 2 weeks of Christmas break with my oldest daughter. We watched all three of the Lord of the Rings movies.
There you go.
So those are great. Those are great. I was thinking of, like, from a comedy perspective, it's hard with comedies to find one that's good for the whole family, though.
That is a fact.
Court Jester, Danny Kaye, way back in the day. That one's pretty funny.
Oh,
and good for everybody.
So wow, where did you pull that out of?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I've not
thought about that movie in at least a decade.
It's such a good movie. It's good comedy. Very clean, right? You could watch it with the kids. My wife, if she were here, would want me to mention like Mary Poppins and Sound of Music, which I actually enjoy both of those movies.
The new Mary Poppins I thought was really good.
I liked the new Mary Poppins a lot, actually. I think Emily Blunt's fantastic.
It's a great one to watch with the kids.
She was supposed to be Black Widow.
I did not know
this. Iron Man 2. Yeah. She was supposed to be Black Widow, and there was a scheduling conflict, and Scarlett Johansson got put in instead. That's another movie, Edge of Tomorrow, with Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise. The time travel one. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's another good one, if you haven't seen that one, to go catch up on. And now there's all these movies like that are straight to Netflix. My wife and I were hunting around the other day that I'm like, I didn't even know some of these movies existed, and they have like big A-list stars in them.
Yeah, that's a thing now, dude.
Yeah, I know it's just weird, right? Because, you know, I'm a movie theater guy, which having all the movie theaters closed is very sad because I love going to the movie theater. I mean, that experience to me is amazing. You know, I've got a nice TV and nice setup here, but it's not the same.
There's several. If you go into some of this stuff on Netflix right now, that look interesting to me. But
yeah, I may or may not have seen what's the one with Ryan Reynolds? Six.
Oh, 6 Feet Under.
No, it's not. I think it's just Six Under. Right?
Oh, Six Under. Is it good? I mean, have you heard it was good from
other
people?
I've heard from other people that it might be hilarious and the most Michael Bay of Michael Bay movies. Tons of explosions, great car races. I think it's also received a lot of hatred. But if I had seen it, I had downloaded it on my phone and watched it on a airplane trip, I may have enjoyed it. If I had seen it, you know, but I haven't because it's rated R. So
right, because you don't do that. That's not a thing that
you do.
We've
covered that in the past. I don't do that.
But like the Irishman looks like it could be good. Spencer Confidential looks interesting.
Spencer Confidential looks interesting. My wife, we saw the trailer for that, and she was interested in that one because she'll do the action comedies. The pure action movies are not her thing. But if it's got, you know, if it's Rush Hour, right, something like that, she'll potentially watch it. But the pure action movies are not her thing.
What was that Western movie you and I didn't go see on a trip? You and I were on, it was like a brother's weekend. We definitely didn't go to see this Western movie. The Magnificent Seven?
Yes. That was with Chris Pratt. No.
Yeah, Chris Pratt was in that.
Denzel, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, because I
saw... I heard that was good.
I saw another one where Chris Pratt was the bad guy.
Oh,
another
geez.
Western. What one was that? That was... now I'm just rambling, by the way.
Now we're just talking about movies.
Yeah.
Like, we've come totally off rails.
What's it? The Kid? It was made by... why can't I think of his name? He's Wilson Fisk in the Daredevil, and he's Edgar suit. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh,
Edgar,
your skin's hanging off your bones.
It was like he was wearing an Edgar suit. Men in Black is kind of fun. Anyway, Vincent D'Onofrio. It was made by him, and Chris Pratt's the bad guy, and he was bad. Like, not just the bad guy, like, despicable. And you're just like, oh, but it's Star-Lord. He can't be mean. It's What's-His-Face from Parks and Rec. He can't be a
mean
guy.
But he is mean.
Oh, he's so mean in that movie that I haven't seen. Yeah, Magnificent Seven, that's the one we saw, or didn't see, on the Boyce Rigdon. When was that? When we were in KC?
No, KC was Sicario. That's when we didn't go to see Sicario.
Oh, that is a really good movie I haven't seen. And I actually haven't seen the second one.
And I did not watch Sicario again on a recent business trip.
Of course you didn't. You wouldn't be seeing any reason for that. Well, anyway, this has been a show. I don't know if it was a good show, but it was a show.
I feel like going to watch a movie now.
I do want to go watch a movie. We were going to watch something with explosions this weekend, and we watched the new Emma instead. I lost. The new Emma.
Well, at least you didn't watch The Notebook with Keith. You know, you can watch movies together on. I think it's on Netflix. They've launched this feature.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard.
You should get together with Keith and watch The Notebook.
I don't think Keith's listening the last couple of weeks because he didn't give us any crap about the open mouth peck kiss from last week.
I told my wife that story, by the way.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's a great story.
What I learned about my wife? I learned something interesting about my relationship with my wife today. I've learned that if I state something as a fact to my wife, she will for the most part believe me. Unless I add the proclamation that I'm telling the truth. The minute I say I'm telling the truth, she loses all faith in what I just said.
I don't believe almost anything you say.
I don't understand how that works.
And she's been married
My assertion that I'm not lying makes me less credible. It's very strange.
Yeah. Actually, it's not strange. It makes perfect sense to me.
Mm. It's weird.
Makes perfect sense to me. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. As always, we appreciate it. I know this is a weird time, and hopefully this brings you a couple laughs and a distraction for, I don't know, an hour. We've totally abandoned our 45-minute thing, by the way. But that's all right. It works right now. And we'll be back most likely next week to talk about ridiculous stuff and apparently not get ready for the draft. So the NFL draft apparently, but we'll find out. We'll find out if that also gets postponed. Matt, any parting words of wisdom?
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. It's good advice at any time, especially now, right? And make sure you have some toilet paper, because I hear that's a thing right now. All right. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!